This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go ride on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Seems to me you want to hear an automotive talk show today, and you've tuned into the right place. 90.3 WHPC Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts Ray Guarino and the dancing Chris Switzer over there in his dacha. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing very well, my brother. Everything is going very well here, listening to the James Gang and having a good time.
Yes.
Right here in Motormouth Radio. You know, we are the only show that turns on the airbag light whenever possible, but I do find it extraordinary that we do that. Speaking when the James Gang is playing. Yes.
Yeah, actually, this is from the Joe Walsh collection. I have I've been into this Joe Walsh thing lately, but yeah, of course, he was a member. Yeah, and you know, I had an opportunity to maybe do a little of that voodoo with airbag light stuff. Rob asked me when I came in, hey, do you got that thing that checks the computer thing that for the car? I'm like, no, I didn't. I don't walk around with a scanner, but apparently if Rob has a check engine light that he needs diagnosed, then
and I'm sure Rob explained it to you exactly that way.
Yeah. And it's funny because I just had my little scanner out. I bought a new OTC scanner yesterday, just a quickie one.
And the neighbors are worried.
Yeah, I know. But they got over it. It'll be fine. So, but I didn't have it to check. So, but that is, if you do have a check engine light, let me say this. You know, don't ignore it. Have it looked at because it could affect performance, long-time performance of your car, you know, over time. It's something you got to look at. But in the meantime, you have us live. Give us a call, 516-572-7440, or check us out on the web. We're Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And Instagram, we are real_Motormouth Radio. And you can send us an email. We have a new tab on our website where you can just we've always had a link on there anyway. And people have actually found ways to mail stuff to us, which was always scary.
Yes, and they also tie it to a brick and throw it through a window to us, too.
Remember the time I got a piece of birthday cake in a box tied? Remember that? That was like the old time.
Yeah, there's some pictures to prove it. We thought it was ticking.
Right. No, it was just buttercream.
It was kind of wet because we had to soak it in the tub first.
Exactly.
We had to drown it. It was a little mushy.
So you can contact us through there and send us your concern. If you're too, some people are too shy to call. We had a woman listener last week send an email about her car. She had a question and I questioned her why she didn't call. And she says, well, you know, she's one of Kim. She likes to listen to Kim, which we have a lot of crossover fans and probably maybe some enemies too who listen to, because I know Kim's fans, like when we took an hour in Kim's show once, they called in the next week, hey, what are you doing taking over Kim's show? We get out of here. We don't want you.
That should be the new catchphrase, Motormouth Radio, that hour-long pause between two good music shows.
There you go. Hey, that's not bad. It's a T-shirt right there, let me tell you. So we do know we have crossover people, and a lot of our listeners listen to Rob and Kim, too, which is great. They should do that.
Sure.
It's always good. And So this woman, you know, was a Kim fan. She listened to us and she thought to write, which was great. So, you know, I encourage her to call. She may not, and that's okay. But, yeah, so if you don't want to call 516-572-7440, then you can write. And it's motormouthradio@ncc.edu. And we will certainly entertain your thoughts. And, yeah, we'll get back to you in a timely fashion.
And we may even read that question on the air, whatever you send us.
Exactly.
Could read that email right on the air.
And the reason is somebody else probably has had or has that problem that wants to know the answer. And, yeah, it's like being the first one in class to raise your hand. Yeah, you know what? Just because you don't know the – if you don't know the math, answer the math, you know, the other guys behind, they don't know how to do it either. So everybody's waiting for somebody to ask the question, right?
Right.
So be that guy or gal.
So. Yes, true. Be the one that – do something else productive with your finger and write us an email. Yeah. It would be very nice.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you a question.
Oh, boy. I'm in trouble now.
I've had this happening to me for a while. Now, recently, it's happened. It hadn't happened before, where I've been buying some parts. I buy a lot of – we all buy stuff online. Let's face it. We're all consumers.
Sure.
But some of the auto parts I've bought online recently, I had to send back because – and it's partially my fault. I'm not going to take no blame for this. But it was, again, with the interaction that I had with the website, I got information that was incorrect. So was it fully my fault? Was it whatever it was, I had to pay for shipping to me and pay to ship it back and then order the right thing. So I've had problems with online. Have you had any kind of issues with that? Because other people I've spoke to have also.
The only issue I've had was not automotive recently, but it was a clerical error on their end. I ordered two parts and only received one.
Okay.
And in this case, it was a home issue. I ordered two faucets.
All right.
And I only received one. And, of course, the individual said, well, I'll be glad to send you another one. You'll get it in 2 weeks. Well, when you order something like a faucet, 2 weeks delivery time, 2 weeks extra, doesn't work.
Not always, no, no.
Now when you turn around and you got the plumber standing there with his hands in his pocket saying, you're paying for this.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But that was one issue that I had. But I do realize that we have a serious parts problem, automotive parts problem in this country. Uh-huh. And it's just a supply issue. And it's so hit or miss. We're almost to the point, Ray, where you have to order three sets of parts.
Yep.
In order to get the one set and send the other two back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that's what I've been in the habit of doing lately. So it's almost like, especially, I'll order from someone that says free shipping. I'm like, ooh, good.
Right.
free returns. Ooh, better.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me three.
You know, and now
what I'm going to get one.
I just wanted to order something for one of my kids for her birthday, and you know, she gave us a link to Amazon. So I checked it out, said, okay, there it is. And I said, hey, you know what? I'll shop around for this. So I saw it on another site that was reputable for less money. I said, okay. It was literally the same thing. I said, all right. So then what I had to do was open their site and literally put it in the cart, go right to the end of the shopping experience where it calculates shipping and or tax to get the final price. I did the same thing on Amazon and saw like, wow. You know, buying the it was more cost effective to buy it from seller B. You know, and I did that because they gave me I think it was I paid tax. No, I had to pay shipping, but no tax. Amazon was taxed, but no shipping. And right. But the cost was more. So again, you know, got all these sites open, ordered it, beautiful. 2 days later, I get a text on my phone. Not I get an email telling me. The sellers refunded my money because they don't have they can't supply the part. Michael, why was it on the website?
Yes.
So, all right, now it's like plan B. Now it's back to Amazon, order it, and now it's going to cost, you know, about $20, $30 more. But okay, I had already done that legwork. But this is what you have to do. And I tell you something, the more I have to sit in front of a computer and do that, the more testy I get.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's just, no, we need plan C.
Exactly. No, so. You know how you solve that? Get a small bowl of jelly beans. Put them on the side next to the computer. That's the attitude adjuster right there, my son.
Okay.
That's what I do every once in a while. I get testy. I have a small jar of like Reese's peanut butter cups. I'm opening them up. Nice little attitude adjuster. Ooh.
Gonna put a,
before I go online to start ordering stuff.
You put a bowl of Vicodin or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of an attitude adjuster, you know, again, just to back up a little to where I started with the listener email, our listener Bill from Freeport, the guy who termed the Motor Mouth Radio curse
or jinx, like, we're still trying to figure that out.
He sent us an email this week that I forwarded out to you guys, and it was in Westbury, New York. Here, there's a recycling yard, and there's this. I think it's a 60 Galaxy that's up on top of a container.
It's a 60 Ford Galaxy or a Custom 300.
Mm-hmm. Nice looking car, two-door. And he was saying, hey, somebody save this thing before they crush it. Well, first of all, Bill, if you listen, I don't think, because it's up on top of the container, it's being used as an advertising thing. It's not going to be crushed just now. That car is safe.
It's probably as it's safe as it's going to be. I'm sitting up on it. Up on a container.
Or maybe the salvage yard owner has it stuffed with all of his Cougarans and cash, and he knows no one can get up there because the Dobermans running around will prevent it. But that is, it made me thinking, like, you know what? As far as oddball, if you want to use that term correctly, or not mainstream cars go, that's one that caught my eye. I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's got those crescent roll shaped rear taillights. I think the next year they used the round ones, the big round lights. Was that 61, 62? And in a two-door, it's not a bad-looking car.
No, they're not. And you know something? This is what we were talking about way back a couple of weeks ago with Uncle Tony. That would be the perfect vehicle. Because if you look at a car like that, it's big. First of all, it's big. Second of all, it's simple. It's a simple vehicle to operate. It's a simple vehicle to own. And third, if it's the straight six, I think it's, what is it, the big six is like the 252?
200. There was even a 200. And I'll tell you a story about that. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's got the six in it, holy smokes, that's a home run. That's a trifecta right there.
Right.
That's the most perfect car because it probably gets better mileage than your Toyota.
Oh yeah,
it gets better mileage in your truck. It'll probably climb more hills than your truck too. You never know.
Yeah, that is kind of a heavy car though for a six. But I know, you know, I mean, they put sixes in everything back then.
Right, but it probably pulls away just like your FJ or your Mazda. If you think about it, probably pulls away just as well as that. It's got adequate power. It's simple to run. It's economical, and it probably gets halfway decent gas mileage. Why not? And you could bring it to a car show for crying out.
I tell you what, and with the patina that it has, you buy it and get it running, and I'll drag race you with the FJ. I'll go out and I'll race you on it with the thing. But I'll say this, you know, another tie-in. We have another friend of the show. Actually, I met this other fellow through Cliff, our good friend Cliff, who calls all the time. I don't know if this guy wants his name used on the air, so I'll leave it out. But I've dealt with him a couple times over with car deals and things, and he's kind of a collector, and he's also a drummer. And, you know, he brought me a blazer full of parts the other day. I made a post online. You can see it on...
I'm looking at it right now on Instagram. I'm looking at it right now.
And motorcycle stuff.
Yeah, and I see those Pontiac wheel covers on there, and I'm laughing because it's like, I haven't seen those wheel covers in 100 years, but we used to see them as kids. We used to see them on everything.
Those were off his old Le Mans,
Yeah, they're all, they're all mid-sized Pontiac wheel covers. Well, that's so funny.
I'll tell you what, we got a flashy light, so let's go to the phones and the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, how you doing? It's Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Joe.
I got two questions for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. First off, you were talking about with the check engine light. How many miles do you have to go after you clear it that you can get the inspections done?
Okay. Well, here it is. There's a thing called a drive cycle. And each malady that you cure, well, many of them, I should say, not every single one, requires a drive cycle to be done. And literally that means just... You can look these things up, and they get kind of cryptic, and I'll just make one up for you. I used to keep a copy of one in my book to show people. It could be, okay, start vehicle, warm to operating temperature, drive at 30 miles an hour for 5 minutes, then stop, then drive increased speed to 60 miles an hour for 2 minutes, then slow to 20 miles an hour for 4 minutes, and repeat 3 times. So depending where you live, and like guys in shops, that's almost impossible. Like in Queens, that's impossible to do sometimes.
Yeah. Accurately, yeah.
And sometimes other cars, the drive cycle is less specific. So if you don't have to get an inspection like that week, you just drive that car normally, and usually within a couple days, bing, that light goes out because the cycle has been completed. You don't even know what you did, but it did it. So what was the malady that the check engine light that you're talking about?
It's, related with I forget the exact term of it, but basically it's the gas cap loose
EVAP.
Or whatever.
It's, yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. I was going to say EVAP. It's 90% of the check engine lights are EVAP codes these days.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That should clear relatively fast if it was the cap. Now, I had a problem once where it was the actual pipe that the cap screws into, where that went into a hose. It was a small leak. And over time, that one, built a history. But if it was just the cap, that one should clear within, sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 key cycles, from on or off. So, that's
Joe, what car are you getting the code on?
Oh, it's my friend's Jeep.
Oh,
I forget exactly what year it is, but it's actually my friend's son. He's supposed to get it inspected, and he keeps on putting it off. And of course, Murphy's Law, the light came on just before he's about ready to go down and get it inspected.
Oh, yeah. Totally get that.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing, though, because when he went, he had the gas cap problem and fixed it, and then he went to get it inspected, and the light came on again?
Well, we cleared it, and it was off for a while. We tried everything, wiping down the pipe itself, the ring, the shifting, maybe, a little Vaseline around the O-ring on the cap, the whole 9 yards, and then tried it, and it was working fine for a while, and then all of a sudden, of course, because he put it off too long, it pops up again.
All right, well, let me ask you this. When the code came back before he went for the inspection, did he scan the car and read the code to see if it was the same one or if it was maybe a different code?
It's still up in the air.
All right.
They have my reader, so.
All right, because the issue could be with EVAP. I was just going through this with a good friend of ours over the weekend. Sometimes it's multiple faults. It could be, purge solenoids, purge valves go bad regularly. Purge canisters. Yeah. A lot of times if you can't fill the gas tank, as you're filling it, it keeps burping back at you. That's usually a purge valve or solenoid issue. So there could be multiple issues that he should scan it again and see. And the EVAP stuff, is one of the, where are you, a submarine?
Yeah, just about. No, I'm at work at the security desk, and there's sorry about that.
No, I understood. It was just kind of a weird sound.
There's a fire somewhere.
Yeah, but the EVAP stuff is, sometimes it's involved, and that's when you need a smoke machine to really diagnose those problems, because, again, you introduce a non-intrusive smoke into the system, and you see where it leaks out, and that's how you find the leak.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, and just one other question for you.
Yeah.
They're talking about going with E15 or higher to try and ease the so-called gas crisis.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, they're always talking about how the ethanol is going to screw up your engine.
Yes.
So it's you get multiple conflicting reports depending on who you talk to. It's there's an energy crisis, so now we have to add it. But if you add E85 to it or whatever, you're going to kill your engine. So,
well,
yeah, those are pretty much the headlines. Yeah,
I'll say this. I don't believe E15 is good for us. And the thing I have going for me, don't trust me. A few years ago, the major manufacturers, the car companies, came out and said, whoa, stop. Our cars aren't designed to run on E15. It will be a problem. Now, they're talking about brand new computer-controlled cars, not our old stuff even. If they're saying it's not good for their cars, now an E85 car is designed to run E85. But if they're saying that about their regular cars that will run E10, they set, you know, wherever they set the bar, you know, that's a warning level for us. And if they're complaining about it, then I know it's not good for, because I know ethanol isn't really great for our old cars at all.
So. No.
So, yeah, E15, bad. If that happens, ugh.
Yeah, we're all in trouble. Especially a lot of the rubber products, right, Ray?
Especially.
It's away from the inside.
Yeah.
All the, anything rubber that passes fuel through. Yeah.
And when it sits, it turns into this I used your car as an example, Chris, a little while ago. I was talking to somebody. Remember when you took the TR6 float bowls off? You had that brown gelatinous jelly goo?
Yes.
That was the same thing. That's what E10 does over time. It just, it's not good.
Yes. So there's an invention to work on, something that you could throw in and have it get rid of all of that crap.
I was just thinking of a time machine to go back to when we didn't have ethanol fuel.
Yeah, right?
But whatever.
Yeah,
but
that's for sure.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Right.
Good talking to you.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right.
Always a pleasure.
That's Jody Undertaker, one of our long-time callers, who didn't email us. He called us, which is great. Joe always was a caller, which is good. I always appreciate that.
Very true. And you know, talk about gas. We now have $5 a gallon gas, right, on average.
Yep.
What's the going rate on the island of Long?
It's still hovering under 5 for regular, just under 5. Over, you know, high test is higher, but
it seems that the Constitution State right up here seems to be the bargain of the three, where I paid $4.87.
Okay. I was at BJ's this morning, and it was listed at $4.65.
Ooh, and there was a line out the door.
At 7:30 a.m., so I turned around and I left. I said, I ain't waiting. Mm-hmm. So that cart full of parts that I was graciously bequeathed, car, motorcycle stuff. Also, I got a job out of it. I got the one-barrel carburetor off the 200-cubic-inch six-cylinder that's in this fella's 66 Mustang.
Right.
So, and I tell you, when I have to do a one or a two barrel, it's harder and more involved than doing a four barrel. It really is.
Why?
They're just not as easy to work on. I'll tell you what. And I, you know,
a one barrel, really?
You would think, I know, but you know what? I did a lot of research on this. I looked at my Mitchell stuff and my some old All Data, some old Motor stuff, and even YouTube stuff.
Is it like a tomato puree can with like a little
flap
in there?
Yeah, there's not a lot. But I'll tell you, there's a bunch of specific adjustments that this thing needs that are not intuitive, and I'm going to do them. Now I'm going to, you know, I actually cleaned it in my ultrasonic cleaner. Thank you, Christian, for that, for pushing me into it.
Oh, so you're not glowing in the darkness?
No. And now I will spend probably three times as much time on the actual reassembly and adjusting on the adjustments as I did taking it apart, because I'm going to make sure everyone is perfect, because he did have a drivability issue.
Oh, so, okay.
Look for the post. The post will go up. You'll see the progress. And
on real underscore Motormouth Radio on Instagram. Yes,
right. And
here I am right now
on Twitter and Facebook too. You cross posted, so
got it.
You'll see. And then,
but now, don't people realize that you have to start thinning down your junk right now?
No.
Because we're taking bets over here. We're taking bets that your kids are going to end up throwing that all into a dumpster one day. That there's even money on that bet.
Okay.
We're taking bets. Will Ray clear out his cash of crap?
Well, I've always said this all through the years. You know, I'm a collector. I will say that. You know, and Tom Cotter said it. The difference between a hoarder and a collector is someone who stores it neatly. So I'm a collector.
So you're on the verge.
And I have a lot of new stuff. I have some new stuff, tools and equipment, and I have a lot of course, used stuff. And my thought was always, well, you're never going to use everything you collect. Well, that's a good thing to do in retirement. Start selling the stuff off. You get some cash, you know, and you go. So that's where I'm at. That's what I'm going to do. I just have to decide how to do it. And like we spoke about, Amazon keeps telling me that I'm eligible to open an Amazon store. Yeah. And I thought about that because...
Right, then a couple of bucks will get you on a train.
Well, I thought about it. I'm still thinking about it, but I don't know, like, you know, on Amazon, well, can you... You know, someone asked me, this fellow we were talking the other day, said, can you sell used stuff on Amazon? I'm like, I don't know. I have seen things that were listed as slightly used on Amazon, so I don't know, and I have to find out. you know.
No, I'm thinking either Facebook Marketplace or eBay. And if there's, you know, there are others, but they seem to be not as effective. I'm hoping to, if anyone knows any differently, anyone knows an inside track on where to sell car parts, please let us know. I mean, we're not going to, we'll just be middlemen here. We'll just talk about this. You know, this is just a conversation. We're not looking to make any money here of your junk, but we're just want to know any information on what the best place, because those are the places that I kind of turn to and what I see the most of. So,
well, I know you do eBay stuff. You still talk eBay. You know, and I ask everybody what the, and some people say, well, you know, who is it that told me recently? If you have stuff that is for a broad, like I have some headlights out of late model cars that I got.
Right. And that you acquired.
Yeah. And they said the best way to sell those is to a broad market. That's when you want to go eBay, because the guy in California may want it. But if you have, like, now the doors or keg frame that I have for a Challenger, that you want somebody to pick up, so you want to go local, and that's going to be more Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, you know, like that.
And also your market is limited because of that.
Right.
So your market isn't as broad as, like, an eBay nationwide sort of market.
Well,
but a lot of things have to be picked up. Like you say, doors. You have that rear window to the Riviera, sure, still, which can yield a couple of bucks, but someone's got to come and pick it up.
You know, you could say, okay, well, we could, you know, crate it up, ship it, and then insure it, obviously. You know, you could do that. But, yeah, that'd be a tough one. But even the doors, I know guys will, like, you know, strap them to a pallet and send them out. Yeah. I mean, you know, some guys will do that. I don't know.
I've used a freight service, and I've also known that I don't know enough about it, but I do know that Greyhound, the bus company,
I've heard that,
dabbles in it too. So there, a friend of mine got a hood shipped on a Greyhound bus on top of people's luggage. There was this Dodge Dart Swinger hood with the scoop sitting on top of it all. I've heard of these stories, and I had my front bumpers to the Chrysler. I had the front bumpers to the Chrysler shipped to me, and then all of a sudden, after they were shipped, believe it or not, the shipping company changed the rules.
Uh-huh.
Because I needed something else. I needed another bumper, and they said, we can't do it. I said, why? You shipped the last two, and they're like, no, we don't ship them in that size anymore. I'm like, did I just break the wheel here? What did I do?
No, it's funny that your friend had a hood shipped, because I had a friend from high school who is a hood, and he was shipped off to, like, a boarding school, but that's another story for another day. It was bad. He broke out. He came back. Yeah.
He like the twin scoops on the hood. He got scooped up.
Right. Exactly. So speaking of scooped up, if you happen to be down in Florida today, you may be, you could be listening to this anywhere. We have people who listen. I know Justin's listening up in Saginaw, Michigan, so people don't always listen terrestrially. They listen on a stream. At Desertland down in Orlando, today is the day of that big model car competition.
Ooh,
they're also, you know, Mike is down there. He sent me some pictures. The Autoseum has now moved down there. And I'm looking through these pictures, and it was really a combination of all the stuff that was up here at the Autoseum and other places. And I wrote back
to him.
I said, wow, I just looked at the last, like, 8 years of my life in a new setting. And he says, look, there's a place for you if you want to come down. So that's going on at Desertland in Orlando today. I guess it's all day. They're doing a car show. They're doing, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. So it's on International Drive, which is that main loop that goes outside of Disney, you know, in Orlando. If you're down there, check it out. Or look up Desertland on the internet, Dezerland, and you can see. Maybe they'll put up pictures about there. Oh, after the fact of who win, I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, because I still, even though I don't build model cars anymore, I'm still an appreciator of fine craftsmanship and just that detail. I have a cousin that does small miniature paintings of, like, army men and things like that.
Oh,
he works with, like, 9 microscopes, and he'll paint, like, a vest on some Civil War, you know, with the sword and everything, and I'm like, holy smokes. So runs in the family. We are appreciators of fine craftsmanship and miniatures. So
okay.
I would love to see some of the winners, some of the pictures of some of the contestants in the model car contest. That'd be great.
And the other thing I want to remind people of, I caught some of this week. Carl Anthony, our guest from last week from Automoblog.net and AutoVision News, he's doing his Tuesday afternoon Summer Breeze series. He did his first installment this past Tuesday. and you could log into them on Twitter. They're big on Twitter, so look for Automo Blog, AUTOMO Blog.
Yes, we like to call it A Moment with Carl.
Yeah, it's soothing. Carl is soothing. He's definitely
he is two minutes with Carl.
The other thing that may is, I don't know if it's soothing. It's been contentious, but some people are soothed by it. Others are frightened by it. Is the bottom of the hour Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group. Some people like to say, hey, I'm part of that honor group today, boy. I was one of them. And
yes.
So do we got one?
Some are confused. Some are unsure. I don't know.
Right.
But every week at the bottom of the hour, we do here, like we do every week, the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. And this week, if something doesn't work right on your vehicle, but you're okay with it. Do you have to jiggle the headlight switch to keep the headlights on? Do you have to help one of the power windows up with the palm of your hand? Do you not mind sliding the cardboard under the car to keep the random leaks from spotting the driveway? Does the fan for your heat only work in high speed so you use the air conditioning, which of course blows warmer? So if your power door locks only work 3 out of the 4 doors and you're okay with problems like that, you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
I'm in that this week. I don't know, Dougie at the UD, he falls into it sometimes too, and I don't know if he is. He probably is in this one too. I definitely am. I have a couple maladies like that that I live with, and when they're yours, you live with them. But that's the thing, if you've ever gone, now you and I, we share a thing. We don't lend our cars to many people at all.
No.
But when you do, that's when you have to say, oh yeah, by the way, one thing I got to tell you. It's like, well, this is how you got to get in. Or this is what you got to do to start. Or this is if you want to use the heat. Or you know what, if you and then you got to go through that.
Yes, I think I got that speech when I borrowed the Mazda from you 100 years ago.
Might have been. Maybe. Or sometimes, you know what? All right, forget it. Give me the keys back. Here's bus money. Call a cab, call an Uber.
Yes, but you could always loan me your car.
Yes,
that, right?
Of course.
Because how do you get it back?
Cleaner than when you took it. Yes, absolutely.
And full of gas.
Yes, I would definitely.
So much so, your wife has said, can you borrow my car again?
Exactly. So, and I tell you what else you should do if you find some free time. Now, this one hits close to home. This is Familia right here.
Ooh.
Sundays at 10 a.m., if you have nothing else to do, tune in to this station to listen to the free-for-all, because your host, Rob Leonard, right there in the other room, he presents...
Robert Xavier Leonard, I love him!
Yep, he presents a different mix of rock and roll from Chuck Berry to Weezer. I think Rob may be the one wheezing sometimes, but...
And he's also chucking, too.
And he's... But there he is, in the other room watching us.
He's snoozing away, I'm sure, just like he does every week listening to us.
Exactly. So for now, you find people need to keep it where you got it. We're going to take a bottom of the hour break. We'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. And
When we get back, I want to talk about how to deal with $5 gallon gas, or at least how I'm dealing with it.
Good idea. And okay, excellent. And for now, we'll continue with our Joe Walsh theme, another one of my favorites. And we'll play a couple spots. We'll be back, 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
Yes.
Feel free to dance. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Hello, gentlemen. Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've
ever done. It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
All right, thank you, Chassis John. Again, we're looking out for our buddy Johnny. He's still recuperating. We hope to get him back soon, back in the mix, because we miss him. Until then, we're jamming with Funk 49. Did you know there's a Funk 48 also?
Come on.
There is. It was a very popular song. It was on, I think, their first album. I do have a copy of it. You know what? Is it on this CD? No, it's not on this one.
No way.
No, it's not on this
Funk 48.
There is a Funk 48 also, yeah.
But is there a Strawberry Letter 22?
Just heard that. The Johnson Brothers, right? Just heard that last night as I was going to bed on one of my other favorite radio. Love that song. Ding, 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 ding. I'll use that.
Is there a Topsy Part 1?
Topsy?
Yeah.
Topsy Turvy?
No, come on. I set you back a bit.
That's
from the 50s. It was an instrumental.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's called Topsy Part 1.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool.
Or part two. I'm sorry. It was called Topsy Part Two.
Right.
I know. Dipping into the old 50s, the fabulous 50s.
Yeah.
Right.
So you want to tell us about.
Yes, I do.
Fuel economy. How go? It's all yours.
It's funny because what was one of the questions we asked Carl Anthony about? What was your optimum fuel efficient vehicle for the problems that we're having now? And, I thought to myself, I need something that's fuel efficient, but I need something that's cheap because we don't know how long we're going to have $5 a gallon gas. It may be six, it may be seven, it may be 10. It may go back down to three by December. Who knows?
Right.
So do you not want to spend $20,000 to find a fuel efficient vehicle? No, that's not going to save you any money. You need something that's around $2,000, but you have to be smart when you buy it.
Right.
Now you have to make some concessions as well. So a lot of cars, like I saw, a lot of Honda CRVs for $2,000, mid-2000s, that all needed transmissions. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'll go buy a transmission, do the whole thing, put the training. No, don't want to do that. I found something, to make this very brief, because we only have an hour, I found something that is A, little strange, B, a little ugly, and C, something that has very low mileage.
It's your cousin Rocco.
It is. He's got a lot of miles on him.
Yeah, true.
But he is slow and ugly.
And he is definitely a little strange.
So I went off the beaten path and found a Chevrolet Tracker.
Right. Now, they're not that odd.
But it's a Suzuki Vitara. I've never owned a Toyota before, ever. I've never owned a Toyota,
okay.
But I've owned my first Suzuki.
Yeah. Now, Dougie has one. Does he have a Tracker or not a Trax? No, I think he has a Tracker. He's got one.
Yeah.
Doug has one.
Now, I had a laugh because the guy was selling it was basically like almost in a way, had this kind of like want to get it off his lot type of thing.
You bought that off a lot?
No, well, it was a guy kind of dabbles in cars, but it wasn't. He had like a kind of like a shop, and well, and that was another thing that was a prerequisite in this choice. I wanted to find some place close,
okay,
because there were a lot of cars in Pennsylvania that I was interested in, but then you got to drag these things home on a flatbed. Now, how much does it cost to transport a car now? I'm sure it costs double. Yeah, double for one. I mean, I brought the Chrysler home from Rocky Point, Long Island. It cost me $700. Probably costs triple that now. So you want to go take that? Want to go take a $2,000 car and do that? It's
plus,
not worth
what
it.
I found is a lot of cars from PA there, and this is a general statement. I don't know that, you know, are auction vehicles. They flip a lot of auction cars in PA.
Very true. And a lot of times these cars all are rusty. Everything is rusty,
right?
Especially in the $1,000 to $3,000 price range.
Yeah.
Everything is rusty.
Yeah.
So sure enough, I'm looking at this Tracker, and it's no rust on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking around, four-door. I'm walking around it. It's got 78,000 miles on it, and it's legit because everything in it works. It's got power windows. It's got power steering, power brakes. It's got cruise control. It had an AM/FM CD player in it. It's a 2002. It's got two airbags.
Wow.
That haven't been blown yet. They haven't been popped yet. They're still intact in the dash. It's got a power mirrors. I'm like,
wow, mirrors.
Everything works. The funny thing is you can tell it's cheap because it's got power door locks, but it's only got one button on the driver's side. No other door has got a button for the power lock. So you got to sit in the driver's seat in order to activate.
You think
the power
it was maybe
doors.
Old person owned?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But now here's the bad part. It's ugly. The paint is flying off it, but it's not rusty. It's just the paint is flying off it.
Right.
And the worst is, the worst of the whole problem with this car is some clown shoes dumped a gallon of white house paint in the back of it. It's latex. It's water-based paint. You could tell. But now I have to figure out, I got a choice. I got to figure out, A, how do you get dried latex paint off a carpet?
Wow.
Or B, what would you do about replacing the carpet or replacing the back seat?
AstroTurf.
Because someone folded down the back seats
and
very conveniently laid a gallon of paint there where it got dumped out.
Yeah,
I don't know. Don't know, but it's dumped out.
Let me ask you, the back part of that rear seat, is that really close napped kind of stuff? I almost wouldn't call it carpeting. I'd call it interior stuff.
Right. It's that cheesy type of foreign car material.
You know what? You
got like
a. You know what? I would look and see if you see a shop near you that does auto interior. You know, maybe the guy they probably have rolls of that stuff. You could buy a hunk of it, pull that stuff off, and
maybe
spray glue it on.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm also thinking that there's got to be, you know, salvaged Geo Tracker, Chevy Trackers with that back seat.
Because the
interiors are all the same, basically.
I'll tell you this. When I got my FJ, it was missing the bottom part. My rear seat, it folds down. It's like a 60, is it a 60-40 or 80-20? I don't know.
Yeah.
The tops fold down, but the backs, you got to fold the bottoms up. And I was missing the bottom cushion.
Oh,
was I missing the other one, too? I forget.
What's the chance of that?
Well, yeah, the guy took it out because it's very easily removable, and this guy removed it. So I had to find that, and then the driver's seat was just kind of schmagegged. It was real gacked up. It was like, ugh. I could have kept it, but seeing that, as I got into that thing and saw how disgusting this guy was, I said, I want to change that seat. And through the shop, they found me. They deal with a guy. I think he's in maybe Westchester, that sells a lot of interior stuff, and we were able to buy the seats used, you know, and for a fair price. I mean, it cost me a couple hundred bucks. I got the bucket seat, which is hard to get, and I got that rear seat. So, your problem is to find one that's been in the junk. How many of them are around? There's a lot of FJs. How many trackers are there?
Yeah, well, I've come to realize just a casual glance.
Doug, if you're listening, don't you have a parts car? I think Doug has a parts car.
A casual glance on Facebook Marketplace, and there are people that have these cars and they're selling parts. So it's not as impossible. It's a lot. Let's put it this way. My benchmark is the Chrysler 300. If you can have a parts car better than that, I'm hysterical. So, and that's my benchmark. So they're out there.
What's that thing have? Like a 1.4 liter engine?
2.0
four banger. 2.0? Yeah. Okay. Dual overhead cam or single?
Yeah. Oh, and the air conditioning blows cold, too.
All right. Is it dual or single overhead cam?
I think it's single overhead cam.
Yep. Simplicity at its finest. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I mean. This thing is just, it's a little billy goat. It's got four-wheel drive.
Four-wheel drive?
Yeah.
Woo!
It's got a little transfer case under there. It's got a full frame. They call it a mini truck.
Right.
It's a full frame vehicle. I was astonished when I'm looking at it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They really build them like this?
And it's an automatic?
Yeah. It's an automatic for the family to drive. Yeah.
So I guess one of the first things you're going to do, like I did, is a full fluid change.
Yes. And that's the convenient thing, because when you see a vehicle with 150 plus thousand miles, you don't know when that first service was done, if any.
Right.
This has got 78. Well, it's legit. Yeah. So I can be the first service guy on this.
Or when was the last service done? You know, and take a look and see if that's an interference fit engine. You may want to do a timing belt as well, just to be safe.
I think there's a chain on it.
Okay, good. Good.
I think there's a chain on.
Good.
I'm not sure. I got it. Oh, okay. There's actually a website. I think it's interferencemotor.com or something like that, which is bound to tell you. But yeah, I know the V6 has a chain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not sure about the 4. I think it does. But if it does, that's good for 150,000 miles.
My Mazda had a chain. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If it does have a belt, you're absolutely right. When I got the LeBaron, that was the first thing I did to that. Took the whole front of the motor apart and did the belt because it had about the same amount of mileage. It was about 78,000 miles. And I'm like, I don't know who did the belt on this thing.
Right.
So let me just change it and be sure. So I did. And if this has a belt as well, yes, I'll be pleased as punch to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm laughing because if this is what I'm talking about. It's a less than $2,000 vehicle. And this is what you need to save you money in the long run when it comes down to commuting with gas the way it is. I think this is one of the best ways to solve this problem.
Sure helps.
And now you can sell your big road barge if you want, or you can mothball it in the garage like I'm going to do mine. I'm going to take them, both of them. Between the behemoth Mazda that I have and the Explorer that both average out maybe 17 miles to a gallon, they're both going to get socked away. I'll leave this thing out in the rain. I don't care.
Well, do some research, because the power of the phone says Doug's got a 2-door '97 parts car.
Oh, cool.
And he doesn't think the seats are the same, but if they are, you're welcome to them. So might have made a deal here on Motor Mouth Radio.
Thank you, Dougie.
And you can give us a call and talk to us at 516-572-7440 if you have a tracker parts car that, from 97 to 2002. I don't know. You got to look and see if those things changed.
I think there's a big difference between the 2 doors and the 4 doors. But mind you, I'm still learning.
Right.
So it's just part. Now here's the thing. I'm going to be acquiring parts for this thing, and now I have to make room. So I'm trying to sell the parts that I have from cars I no longer own.
Yeah.
To make room on the shelf for these new parts that are going to have to go up there, because I'm not touching this thing because of the projects that I have going now. This is just going to sit in the driveway.
Right.
It is not going anywhere. The only thing I'm doing is I'm going to check the driveway for leaks every once in a while. That's it. And maybe like tire leaks.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to do with this thing right now for the next, I don't know, month.
It's not bad looking.
No, it's silver.
Yeah.
And it's so funny about it. There are some colors that you just know to stay away from. Silver and white, for some reason, do not last as long as other colors.
Yeah.
I don't know why. When I went and bought my Mitsu 20 years ago, I had a choice between a silver one and a green one. I said, give me the green one. They're like, the silver ones are more popular. I said, I don't care. Give me the green one. Not that I just, it was a lucky choice because I saw the silver ones were all for 10 years, all the silver Mitsus, the paint was just flying off them. Mm-hmm. The clear coat was gone, and it was just terrible what was going on, how it deteriorated, where the green ones were fine. I don't know. Like I said, luck of the draw on my end.
Right.
But this happens to be that similar color silver, and it's doing the same thing. The paint is flying off the hood. Paint's flying off the roof. So I'll just – it's so small, I can take the hood off – Bring it into the garage, put it on two sawhorses, shoot it silver, and put it back in the car.
Sure.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Put a big hardwood hood scoop on it and call it a pro street car.
Right. Huh? Paint flames on it. Who cares?
There you go. Wow. Okay, so that's cool. That's a nice little runaround.
It's a clear head mobile. That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
You take it, you bring it to the shopping mall, you park it, you lock it. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Right.
If you come out, there's a dent on it. All right, who cares? Get in the car. It's like no big deal. I love clear head mobiles. I love them. They're just, right. And I haven't had one in a long time.
Right.
So it's like your Mazda's the same way with me. That's just a car you would take it and run your errands with it. And you don't care where you're parking.
We're going to run errands on the phone and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's up, Ray? What's up, Chris?
Hey, Dougie.
What's going on, guys?
Here we go.
What's up, Dougie?
Chris, baby, man, you're going to love that car.
Really?
Why?
Trust me, man. Man,
tell me.
All I can say is I've had mine for like 15 years, and it's so tires, brakes, and I did a water pump, you know, the timing belt just for preventive maintenance.
Oh, it does have a belt. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. My motor's a 1.6, a 2.0. I think that's a little bit better.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But it's a step up.
Oh, wow.
And like I said, I got the two-door here. It's a removable rear seat, so I think that one's like planetary, right?
Yeah, it's not going to work. It won't work on the four-door. I was doing a little bit of research on it, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we tried.
Yeah. You're welcome to it there. The car's sitting there. If any other parts you can use,
I will reach out to you.
And
certainly.
That was great, Doug, because you just scavenged the caliper brackets off that car, right? Off your parts car. Yeah.
Well, like I said, brakes, tires.
Nothing like having a parts car, I tell you.
But, you know, it's so funny, Dougie, because I've been just reading reviews, and, you know, you take reviews online with a grain of salt. But I was reading the reviews, and a lot of reviews were all saying the same thing. Greatest little billy goat. Awesome car. Best car I ever bought. It was one of those things. And I'm laughing.
I've had a million cars, bro. Yeah. Like, I come out of the house, I got my choice, you know, my Corvette. Minivan, this and that. But how come you're always driving this thing? Guys at work are like, how come you're always driving this car? You got 20 cars. I'm like, it fits everywhere. It's good on gas. Everything works.
There you go. Yeah.
AC works. I don't have power windows. I'm not luxury like you. But.
So let me ask you guys, what was the range of years that vehicle was made? From when to when?
Mine started out as the Sidekick.
Okay.
Right.
Sidekick.
Right.
And I was the first one to goof on everybody about them rolling over back in the day.
Yeah. So that was back in the 90s.
Bro, mine's 96, so I'm okay.
All right.
I'm right on course. But
how far up did they go? Do you know, Chris?
They go up to 2000. The second gen, like I have, goes up to 2004, I think. But it's almost like a world car. It was built in Argentina. It was built in Brazil.
So what replaced it? Like the Sonic or the Avio or what?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't think they replaced it with anything.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. They take a good car that is a good, reliable thing, and then they don't replace it with something that's going to be also reliable. That's good thinking for you.
That's usually the good train of thought. When something's discontinued, it was good.
Right, exactly.
Outside of the Etzel, but you know
well,
what I'm
right,
saying.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But it's funny, Doug, because I know they had the Sidekick back in the late 80s. I remember back in the early 90s when I was working for a radio station in the city for a promotional thing. We did a tie-in, and they gave us two Sidekicks. One of them was an automatic, and one of them was a stick. And no one in my promotions department was able to drive the stick, so I had it. I had it all the time.
Nice.
Loved it. I loved it. You had the cloth top. You put it down. It was red with a white top and a red and white interior. That was the coolest thing. And, everybody talked about them rolling over, and that's why I'm thinking of this because you mentioned it. And I was like, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
At this part of my life, I don't care.
Right?
Exactly.
But there you go.
You're right. It was a great car, and it's so funny because as I'm driving this one home – this week, I'm like, holy smokes, it's like it's back. I'm back at the radio station driving a Suzuki Sidekick.
Now we all have something in common, because I just did this week, early in the week. I went out with my wife, we're going to go do some shopping, and I'm gonna drive. And as we go out, she learns, like, she's got to follow me, because I could go to any one of the cars that are outside, you know. And she was following me first to her car. Nope, but I went to the street, so it was either the FJ or the Mazda. And she was hoping it was the FJ, and she's like, oh, we're taking the Mazda, baby. It's the economy car. And she's like, girl. So,
it's terrible,
now
your wives can think that way.
Yeah, your wives can share the same, well, Doug, yours has been. Now, Chris, your wife can share the same grief
yes.
that mine
Doug,
does.
Yeah, I'm glad you feel this way about it. You make me feel better about my purchase. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
Nice.
If you want to sell it, I'll buy it.
All right.
I'll keep that in mind.
There's an offer.
You know me. I got to fix it all up, make sure everything works before I sell it.
All right. Cool.
Hey, you want to borrow my car? You can clean it and fill it up with gas. Huh?
Yeah, right. You know? Exactly.
I'm in the honor group of the day every week.
Yep.
So.
Yep, yep.
You hit them on the head every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
You got it, man.
All right, Doug.
All right, guys. I know you're running late, man. Let's just go, man.
Thanks, Doug.
Enjoy
talk to
week,
you soon.
Man.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Be Bye-bye. Safe. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
All right. Excellent. Yeah.
That makes me feel a lot better. That really does, because, you know, I really walked around this car saying, why can't I find anything wrong with it? Like, I couldn't find anything wrong other than the fact that it was a little homely looking.
And that's what I don't think it's that bad, truthfully. But, you know, that's what you want. And then when you get it, you're like, oh, no, what's wrong? You know?
Yeah.
So there's the car guy mentality for you.
Right. So I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm still waiting. And I'll let you know. Believe me, I will let you know right now. I'm like, this was well purchased.
Right.
So right now,
right.
But in the upcoming episodes of Motormouth Radio, I will divulge the stupidity of any
car guy's neuroses.
Yes.
So, yeah, we'll follow up with that, and
yeah,
I know
exactly.
I'll be following up. I'm gonna this afternoon start working on this this one barrel, putting it back together, and then I'm curious to see how the drive is going to be when the owner gets it back. And yeah, I'll be posting stuff, like I said, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and you can see what's going on. There's nothing. Yeah, but there's a guy that follows us who's down in Argentina or something. Carbu Daz, I think, is the name he goes by. Mm. He started following us, and I figured out why. I saw he was commenting. He liked all of the carburetor stuff I put up through the years. So now I tagged the guy, you know, and then he'll always write back, muchas gracias for tagging him. I'm like, dude, it's just social media. It's not a big deal.
Yes, when you're rebuilding those Russian carburetors, those Ziz 300s or
whatever
have you.
Oh, he does, because he works on Volgas. He works on all sorts of crazy cars. Yeah, down there, I think it's almost like a little Cuba. They work on some of the craziest stuff. So, you know, he's got Car A with carb C's engine in it with carb Z's carburetor. Right. You know, they do all sorts of crazy stuff down there. It's wacky.
It's Havana all over again.
Yeah,
no, it's
pretty
true.
Much. Yeah, it's like little Cuba.
Where all the instructions are written sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's an interesting. Those guys that work down there, they're in a class by themselves. I admire every one of them.
And he does real nice work. I follow his builds, and I see what he's doing. I speak the language, and he's, you know, he gets his stuff really clean. He's doing really nice stuff.
And you brush up on your Spanish. It's nice.
Exactly. So we're going to go brush up on my uploading and my lunch now, Chris, because we're going to get out of here. Kim is coming in with Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen in the band, so we're going to clear out. And what do you always say that Brian says, that Justin says from, we make Justin say it too, from Michigan when no one else is around. And Brian and John say, but of course you said it first. What is it?
Don't follow us home and try not to rebuild those Ziz carburetors.
You got it. So if Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino will be back with more Motormouth Radio next Sunday, maybe with a guest. We'll see you then. See you,
bud.
On 90.3 WHBC. Bye-bye.